Well, it's good to be home. Liam and I had a great week in Tulsa, and I go to Winter Bible Seminar every year because it's the stream that I swim in. That's where God sent me to Bible school, and I just get a jolt of Jesus. That's all. I mean, that's all you can say. But I feel impressed in my heart that God has called us as a church to be a city on the hill, right? And what does that mean? That we let our light shine, that we're different, that people can come and see something different, people can come and get something different, right? And again, part of my mandate is to teach people how to believe God, right? The Lord spoke to me something, and we're going to get to my sermon in just a minute, but he spoke something to me that I've been meditating on, and just is that we sometimes, and I've done it too much, is that we live a settled for life. Let me say that again. We live a settled for life. We preach and we sing that God is more. That God is more than that we need, more than we need. But we never enter into the more than because we stick with the settled for. And God wants us to expound that. And again, it's not about, yeah, I need more, God, because I need more toys. It's, God, I need more of you. So just like Cheryl was saying, I can shine brighter. That people can see me better. You know, that they can see. And anyway, I may preach that in a few weeks, but I want to get back to, we've been talking about change. This year is a year of change. Has anybody hooked up with that? I have several areas that God wants me to change in, and he's brought some things up to me, and he continues to do it, and some of them actually hurt, right? And the first thing that we talked about was identifying those things that need to change. And if you haven't hooked up yet, it's not too late to hook up. God wants to change. It starts in our heart. But I want to tell you this. Change is empowered by the grace of God when we hook up to it by faith. That's how we got saved, right? We got saved by grace through faith, right? Everything works that way. So, Lord, if you're putting something on my heart to change, then you've given me the grace or the ability or the empowerment to make that change. And so, therefore, I'm hooking up in faith. God, if you said I can do it, I can do it. Let me say that again. God, if you said I can do it, then I can do it. Amen. I believe we're supposed to be changing day by day. The Bible says this. It says that we're changed from glory to glory to glory to glory. What does that mean? It in the same passage, it talks about when we look into the mirror of God's Word. In other words, we're looking into God. We're looking into who He is and then who He's made us to be. Then we can be changed from glory to glory to glory. This is a year of change. It's going to be a change for me. For all of those that will hook up, it'll be a change for you. But not just that, it'll be a change for the church. Right? It's going to be a change for the church. Amen. So, we talked about identifying what that is. And if you haven't done that, if you haven't got and talked to God, God, what is it specifically that you want me to change? What area or areas do you want me to work on? I would encourage you to do that this week. You've got the time. Let me say that again. You have the time, right? But do you have the want to? So identify that and then come up with a plan. We talked about the last time I spoke, and Lila did a great job last week, man. I listened to it online. It was awesome. So, but watch this. So I was in church with y'all last week. I just wasn't here. But watch this. God, you know, we have to have a plan, and that plan includes the vision of God. And all of our plans need to be hooked up and in line with the Word of God. Right? And you can have all the plans that you want. And this week we're going to talk about implementing the plans or putting the plans into action. Come on, putting the plans into action. We talked about the vision, so you have a vision of what you're going to do, but then you've got to take the steps to do them. Hello? I could have a vision to climb Mount Rainier. I don't. I could have a vision to climb Mount Rainier, but if I didn't drive up to Paradise and get my backpack on and start taking the steps to go up there, that would be just a dream. We want established change that comes from vision in our heart. So we have to implement that. I want you to go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to talk about some components of implementing a plan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." There's so much in this verse, and I don't have time to break it all down. But he's talking to his protege. He's talking to a young man who's come up in his ministry, someone who's he's laid hands on, prophesied, and set into places of authority within a local church. And he said, "Therefore, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace." Isn't it interesting that he said in the grace? Because when he's saying in the grace, what he's talking about is he's talking about the divine ability that God gave you. So not on yourself, "I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to just grunt and groan and moan and strain. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this." No, 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 no. "I'm going to do what you asked me to, Lord. But I have a full expectation that your grace to give, that you give me in order for it to come to pass is with me." So be strong in that. Hold on to that. Why? Because when it gets tough, when you don't think you can make it another day, right? Then you have to push yourself by relying on the grace that God has given you, right? When you have a setback or whatever, you go, "Nope, nope, God's grace is sufficient for me." Verse 2, "And the things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in a warfare entangles himself with the affairs of life that he may be please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." He started out with grace, and then he ended with grace. In other words, he said, "Lord, let the Lord give you under," in other words, from your spirit man, God will speak to you in order for you to accomplish the things that he's called you to. And a reference to change, that's what we're talking about. But I want to point out a couple of things. If you go to verse 3, in verse 3, he says, "You therefore must. It's not optional. You have to. You got to face it and you got to do it. You therefore must endure hardships. Change does not, especially if God's put it on your heart to change, you have to engage in it, but in the engaging of it, the first thing that you have to do, it might be hard. All change is hard. Why is change hard? Because you have to do something different than you've always done. And again, we know this, that our truth is our truth, right? And whatever paradigm that truth is in, If God's trying to change that, then you might have to undo your truth in order for Him to give you the true truth. Are you know what I'm saying? Let me just give you an example in the natural how that works. Most of you know I'm a golfer. I love to golf. But it is the most frustrating, complicated thing that there is. To hit a little ball and make it go in the direction that you want it to go without going this way or that way, right? So there are swing patterns that you have, right? And like I've taken lessons, and it's like the instructor says, well, I see what you're doing, but you have to do it differently. Well, my muscle memory is doing it a particular way, right? And in order for me to change that, it's hard because I have to change my muscle memory from what was automatic to make it now automatic. And that's the same thing with all change. If anger was our go-to, and God's dealing with our anger, then we've got to break down and ask God, why is that? But it might be hard to do it. But you're going to have to endure that hardship if you want the change. All right? So we're implementing it. First thing we got to know and understand is that it may be hard, but I'm going to do it anyway. Now look at now. Verse 4 says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And what the Lord spoke to me about is that if we're going to change and we're going to implement this change, we have to endure hardship. It may be tough, but it's worth the doing. But the second thing is we have to have focus. We have to be focused. You have to be focused on that change. We're going to implement this. I've got the plan, and here it comes. But in implementing the plan, I've got to be focused on the plan. Kevin Costner had a baseball movie, and I'm a sports guy, so just that's where my references will go. But he was a pitcher, and in this movie, and I've seen a couple other things, it's like he got on the mound, and when he was in the zone, everything else shut down. It was like it went, you know, here's the crowd, here's the noise, here's everybody, the umpire, everybody's yelling, everything. But when he got in that zone, it went whoop, and it was just him and the catcher. Right? What was that? What was the zone? The zone was focus. So I've got to endure, but I also got to keep the focus. If I'm going to implement something, I've got to have my eye on the prize. If the Lord's asking me to do something and He's asked me to change, then Lord, I'm focused on that. And if distractions come, it's like, get out. I don't have time for you. It might be a good thing, but it might not be a God thing. Right? It might not be a God thing. And I want to change, first of all, because it'll be good for me. But second of all, because my Savior, my Lord, my God put it on my heart to do it. And I want to please Him. Hello? I want to please Him and be pleasing to Him. So, endurance and focus. And look at the next verse. Verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Well, today, never mind. I'm not going there. But watch this. What the Lord spoke to me about this, about our implementing, is don't cheat. Don't cheat. Be focused on it. Don't cheat. I'll just tell you, this week, I was in Tulsa with Liam, and I'm on this diet, and this diet's very limited in what you can have. So, just one story. We were at Shiloh's, which is just a little family restaurant next where the hotel was, and what did they bring out? they bring out these homemade rolls that are to die for. I've had them before. They're so good. And I went, no, Liam, you're having two of them. And then they had the audacity to come out and say, do you want more? So I'm sitting at the restaurant, and then at a restaurant at home, you know, you can order something or you can make something and you don't have all the sides with it. But at a restaurant, well, that comes with two sides. I don't want the sides, thank you. Liam, what do you want? All I'm saying is I had the opportunity to cheat. And I could have said, oh, it's okay, you know, we're in Tulsa, it's all good. But my focus was on implementing the change that I needed, right? And so all week, it was that like Marty was like all week like that. For his birthday, it was his birthday this week, and we went to Olive Garden. There's not much at Olive Garden on this diet, right? So Liam got all of my sides. He was very happy. Very happy. But the point is, you have to focus on the plan, but you also have to focus on the prize. Right? All right, so we're implementing it. So we're enduring whatever comes, right? And we're focused on the plan. And then we're not going to cheat. Now watch this. Verse 6, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. What does that have to do with implementing the change? What I want you to do is celebrate the little changes on your way to the big change. Right? Celebrate the little changes rather than go, oh God, am I ever going to get to that full change? If it's anger, again, that God has dealt with you and you didn't lose your temper and road rage where you would have, celebrate that. Or maybe you didn't use the same words that you used to use in your road rage. Right? Celebrate that. Celebrate. I'm changing and God is changing me and God's doing something in me that's causing me to change. So you're not going to get anywhere in a hurry. And have you ever figured this out? If it took you this many years to get where you are, and the change that God wants to do inside of you is something that's strong, that's hard, that the muscle memory has to change, my paradigm of the way I think has to change, everything has to change. We all want to come up here in a prayer line, somebody lay hands on us, and it's all changed. But that's not the way it works. In implementing the plan, one of the things we have to do, it's not written in my notes, but in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says that we have to renew our minds. Do not be conformed to the old way, but renew our minds to the new way that God wants us to walk. Make sense? So again, we're implementing the plan. We're implementing. So we must go through endurance. We must have focus. We can't cheat. And we have to take pleasure in the rewards. Now go with me to James chapter 3. The book of James in the third chapter. I am going to presuppose, and I think it's prudent to do so, that all the change that we want is going to be in line with the Word of God. In fact, it's in Him that we live and we move and we have our being. And He speaks to us through the Word. And if He's spoken to us through the Word that we need to change some things, right? That, now look at verse 17. And we could go to many verses, but I don't have time here. It says, where am I at? James chapter 3, verse 17. That's not the one I want. It's okay. I'll find it. I wrote the wrong thing down. It's chapter 2 and verse 17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead. What does that have to do with this? You can say that you want change. You can focus on the change. You talk to everybody about the change. You can say, oh boy, I'm going to change. But unless you put action to it, it's not change. You know, somebody said it, and it's true, that we're not saved by works, we're saved by grace through faith. But did you know that they don't always apply the next verse? And the next verse talks about we're saved by grace through faith unto good works. In other words, if we're saved and we're walking in light of that salvation, then good works should come. And that's not only change in us, but the change in us will have effect on those who are around us. Hello? Hello? Right? So we're implementing this because we are going to not only believe for it, we're going to act on it. We're going to act like it's true. We're going to stop ourselves from saying certain things. We're going to stop ourselves from doing certain things. We're going to act nicer than we've ever acted before. We're going to reach out toward people like we've never reached out before. One of the things the Lord's working on me is that I'm not supposed to speak at you. I'm supposed to speak to you. There's a huge difference. A huge difference. I need to speak to you. In other words, God, use me to connect with everybody's heart. Right? It's a change. I need to act on that. Lord, help me. Right? But I'm acting on faith. Even this morning, it's like I'm doing it. I may not be doing it to the best that anybody can do it, but it's a focus that I have to do it. Right? Why? Because I want you to get what God is saying. I don't want to just speak what God is saying. I want you to get what God is saying. Hallelujah. So faith or a plan or words don't mean anything unless you back it up. Again, sports world. People can talk a lot of smack on the court, a basketball court. I played basketball in high school and years afterwards, intramural. And man, people can talk a good game. But there's a time in the game where you have to either put up or shut up. It's fun to make somebody shut up, by the way, but that's a whole different conversation. But watch this. What I'm saying is, if we're going to implement the change and we have the plan and we've identified what God's telling us to do, then we have to implement that plan and get to work on it and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Don't ever give up. Let's look at Proverbs a couple things. How many in this room would say, I love the Lord? The rest of you will get you saved in a minute. I love the Lord. Well, that's awesome. But you know what Jesus said? He said, if you love me, you'll do what I tell you to do. And what did he tell you to do? Well, it's written from Genesis to Revelation. It's right here. If you don't know, it's right here. Now, you can go to the New Testament, the Gospels, and read the red, and that's good. That's awesome. But that's not all of it. Genesis to Revelation. So, if we love him, we'll say, Lord, help me to change, because I want to be a doer of your word and not just a hearer only. Right? We're implementing the change according to the word of God. Proverbs chapter 18. I've had people come up to me and when I've been ministering and preaching, and they said, man, God used you, but he was tough on me today. And I said, well, you got it secondhand. I get it firsthand, right? Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 9. He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. I'm just going to put this in the context of what we're talking about. He that is lazy toward the plan is a brother to him who destroys things. Proverbs is a great book. I love reading it, and I hate reading it. Right. I hate, but it's true. What does slothful mean? Lazy. Here's another thing. Just, have you ever seen a sloth? Have you ever seen one? Everybody in the room seen a sloth, the animal, the sloth? They're so slow. They don't do anything fast. In the plan, if you're slow to implement it, it's not the right attitude. Right? He was slothful. If you're lazy, if you're not doing what God wants you to do, if you're not doing something about your plan, when do you do that? Well, next week. You know, after this weekend, I'm going to start. Next month, because, you know, this is coming up, and I've got this wedding to go to, and you know, but next month, I'll have more time. Have anybody gotten in that trap, I'll have more time? What you're actually saying is, I don't want to do it, and I'm not going to be diligent about doing it. Did you know that we want the blessing of God, but he said that the willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land. We have to be diligent in our change if we want change. All right, let's go to Proverbs 21:25. Proverbs 21:25. Listen to this. The desire of a lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. Boy, you're being tough on me. Yeah. Why? Because I want to wake us up. That if we want to change, then we can't be lazy about the change. We have to be focused. We have to be diligent in implementing the plan. We've got to be on it and disciplined toward it. God's graced us to do it, but just because he's graced us and given us the ability doesn't make that an automatic. You have to do something in order for that grace to be applied so that the outcome is what you want. You can't be lazy about it. I had a basketball coach, and I'm going to change the quote a little bit. He used to say that excuses are like armpits. Everybody has them, and they all stink. What does that have to do with this? The desires of a lazy man or the excuses that a lazy man is making for not doing what God's called him to do to make the change are just that. Everybody can have them, but those that have them and act on them will never get what God wants for them. One more. This hurts so good. Proverbs 24. And verse 30. Proverbs 4 and verse 30, or 24:30. It says this, I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there was all overgrown with thorns, and its surfaces were covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. What's God trying to say here? Get up. Get to it. Activate it. Do it. But if you don't do it, you'll be the same next year as you are this year. If God has given you a promise in His Word and you know it's for you, then start acting on it and don't give up until you see it come to pass. Right? What am I saying? Look at this. Many of us want things from God, but yet we're not doing what we need to do to begin to act on what He's told us to act on to get what He wants us to have. Right? Cheryl talked about these two young ladies right here and how God used them. They said, what church do you go to? Their light was coming through for them. If your light isn't coming through, then there's a change that needs to happen. Because we are not to be a candle that's hid under a bushel. We're supposed to be the candle on the hill. Right? So if our attitude at work isn't what it needs to be and we're not working as unto Jesus, we need to change that. Right? And we can't be lazy about changing it. We need to be on task, on purpose, right today. God, I'm going to do that, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. I mean, think about that. Think about people or situations. You've all been in them, and maybe you've had, I think we probably have all in some realm have had this happen. It's kind of like, we really want something. We want something from God. God, I'm going to do this. And yet we never do anything or take any steps to change it. And then a year later, 2 years later, 3 years later, our hearts kind of hardened a little bit in that area. And then we kind of go, well, I don't know why God didn't do anything for me. He did. He put something in your heart to change, and then He gave you the grace to change, but He expects you to do something. And if you're lazy about doing it, then you can't expect to go out to the field at harvest time and get anything to eat. Right? But here's the good news. If He's graced us to do it, we can do it. And if He's graced us to change, we can change. And it will be better, not only for us, but for those around us and those God puts in our path when we do the change, because we'll be reflecting the love and the heart and the power of God through our lives. Amen? Amen. I want Jesus in my life. I want Jesus through my life. Amen. And again, I don't want to speak at anybody. I want to speak to people. Jesus. Right? In summation, let me just throw this out to you. Rahab, with the 12 spies, had a plan. And in that plan, she let out the spy, or the two, you know, let them out and down the rope and let them down. But they said, here's the plan. You've got to put a rope or a scarlet something down from your window, because when God destroys them, everybody will know, don't touch those people that are in there. And you have to be in that room. You have to be in that house. You can't be anywhere. If you want to be saved, that's where you've got to be. Well, that's a great plan. But what would have happened if Rahab would not have put the rope down or the scarlet thing down? What would have happened? The plan wouldn't have come to pass. It was God's absolute will for her to be saved and her household to be saved, but she had to act on it in order for it to come to pass. See what I'm saying? And the rest is history. She's in the book. She's a mother of, you know, just, it's amazing. Grandmother, she's an incredible woman. Moses had to go to the Pharaoh. God had a plan. God came to him in a burning bush and said, Moses, you're my spokesman. I've called you to deliver my people. Woo! Glory to God. What a day that was. But then Moses, or God said to Moses, you got to go. And Moses said, what? I can't talk. See, again, excuses. Well, if God puts some plan in us to change and we're implementing that plan, I'm not going to put up with excuses. If you said go, I'll go. So he finally, he got Aaron to go with him, but he went to the Pharaoh. If he would not have went to the Pharaoh, he would not have delivered the people. Right? So the plan was in place, but he had to implement the plan. How about David? He comes and Goliath out there spouting off his thing every day. For 40 days, I think it said, 40 days he was out there in the armies of Israel were cowered and going, he's just send out one guy. You just send out one guy. If he beats me, man, we'll submit to you. But if I beat him, you guys are our puppets. And so David heard that, right? And he goes, what are you doing? We're children of the Most High God. He's not defying us. He's defying God, the one who is with us. And his brothers said, shut up. Little boy, shut up. Again, this is Bruce's version. It's not a direct quote. Shut up. But others heard him, and then it got to Saul, the king, and Saul called for him. And Saul said, hey, sounds good to me. Take my armor. See, that was somebody else's plan. But he said, I'm not comfortable in this plan. I'm going to go back to the plan that God uses me in. And he went out to him and he got 5 stones out of the creek bed. And with 1 stone, he slew him. But the plan that he had in his heart would have never come to pass if he didn't go out to face the giant. So in implementing the plan, we got to stand up to it. Whatever it is God wants us to change, we got to stand up to it and say, listen, my words are not enough. I'm going to act on what God has told me to do. Here's one more. You might have heard of this one. His name is Jesus. Jesus. Says from the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world was laid, God had already had the plan to redeem mankind. But what if Jesus would have said no anywhere along the way? What if he wouldn't have done? You know what Jesus said? One of the quotes to Jesus, he said, I must, everybody say must, do the work that my Father has called me to do. I must do. I want us in implementing the plan, and especially if we know that God's put it on our heart to change, I want us to be like Jesus and say, I must do what God's asked me to do. And that will give me the impetus to endure, to stay focused, right? To not cheat, and to praise God the whole way through it. Amen. Did you get something this morning? Amen. Amen. Anybody want to change? Amen. Come on. We're learning how, but we've got to put it to practice, right? And again, the change that you do won't be the change that I do, because God's dealing with us all differently. And don't compare your change to anybody else's change, because obedience to the voice of the Spirit on the inside of you is what qualifies you for well done, thou good and faithful servant. Hello? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for all of those that are watching online or will watch at a later time. God, I thank you for the grace that speaks into their hearts right now in Jesus' name. And if you're listening, God loves you so much. And he never asks us to change anything that's not for our benefit. He wants to help us to change. Why? Because he wants our lives to be blessed. He wants our lives to be fulfilling. He wants us to have peace. He wants us to have joy. He wants the fruit of the Spirit in our life. And Father, I just ask you to just put your grace, send your grace down to everybody that's listening in the room or online. Just put your grace upon them right here, right now, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for them right now. I pray that your blessing would be upon them, that your hand would be upon them. If they're discouraged, God, help them to refocus. If they're going through things, Lord, that are really tough, help them to endure. God, I just pray over them right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you don't know Jesus, like Cheryl was saying, it's not even the prayer, but it's your heart condition submitting to the Lord and saying, I need God. I need God. I need God. And Jesus said the only way to God is through him. He said, Apostle Paul put it this way, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. But I can tell you this, just saying those words won't get you saved. It's that heart condition where you yield yourself completely to him. And you say, Lord, I've been driving this car way too long, and it's not taking me where I want to go. I want to come to you, Lord, so I'm going to put you in the driver's seat. I'm making you the Lord of my life. Come now, Lord. Fill me with you. Fill me with you. I receive you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, bless those. If there's any sick, Lord, Father, let them be healed in Jesus' name. Meet all of their needs in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us online. I appreciate it. God bless you. If the worship team